जय राधा मदावा जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा मदावा जय कुंज बिहारी दमादावा जय कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वालावा गिरिभर धारे गोपी जन भालावा गिरिभर धारे यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन छारी जमुना तीरावन छारी जैया राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन्ना भालावा जया गिरिभर धारी जया गिरिभर धारी जया गोपी जन्ना भालावा जया गिरिभर धारी यशोदा नंदन जया ब्रज जन रंजन जया ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन जया जामुना तीरावन छारी जया कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रमा 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 हरे हरे। कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण। Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Jagacharya Ashtotara Sata Shishimadhi Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Jagacharya Ashtotara Sata Shishimadhi Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Karantarashimam Bhagavatam ki Itai Gaura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru and Shigauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Tree, Trees. Text number 7. Taudistva madira mato Srimadam dao surat majao Tajor anugrahar thaja Sap Sapandasyan idam jagau Taudristva madira mato Srimadan dao suratnajau Tajor anugrahar thaja Sapandasyam idam jagau Taudristva madira mato Srimadan dao surat majau Tajor anugrahar thaja Sapandasyan idam jagau. Please chant.
Thank you.
Tau, the two boys of the demigods. Tristwa, sin, Madira, matau. Very intoxicated because of drinking liquor. Sri Mada Andau, being blind with false prestige and opulence. Shura Atmajao, the two sons of the demigods. Tayoho, unto them. Anugraha Arthaya, for the purpose of giving a special mercy. Sapam, a curse. Dasyam, designed to offer them. Idam, this. Jagau, utter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarsi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus, he spoke as follows. Purport. Although, in the beginning, Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them. And at the end, the two demigods, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur give herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicines to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nala Kuvara and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Rama Pada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine. Banchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripasindu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, this is a very important lesson for devotees. Nala Kuvara and Manigriva were the sons of Kuvara, they're demigods. The position of the demigods is that they are pious living entities, extremely pious living entities, who are serving the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the administration of the universal affairs. So, one can think that this whole cosmic creation is like the Lord's temple. And then you have different departments, and all these department heads, from the pujari department to the kitchen department to the maintenance department, they're all very responsible position. They're serving the personality of Godhead in administrating and maintaining the temple. And so the devotees who have different responsibilities in working in different departments. The demigods represent the personality of Godhead. And they're devotees. So they're devotees. Devotee means that one is under the shelter of the personality of Godhead. That's what the wonderful situation that devotees who the devotees who actually place themselves into the shelter of the Lord, who have the great fortune of accepting for whatever period of life of their life to actually being in the temple of the Lord, being under the full shelter of the Lord, is a great fortune, and also is a responsibility. It is also explained that the demigods are mixed devotees. So they have desires to control, and they have material desires. So it's a mix. The karma, the term is used karma mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti. So karma means there's fruitive desires, and mishra means mix and bhakti. So they're devotees with mixed desires. So that is the situation of most of us who come to the shelter of Krishna. And most of us who are in the shelter of Krishna in Krishna's temple. And it is explained that one of the symptoms of being a mixed devotee that is not unalloyed but is mixed with either material desires of fruitive desires or the desires for jnana, either one of those, karma or jnana, it is explained that the symptoms, especially of the karma mishra bhaktas, another term is prakrita bhakta, and another term for those are kanishta adhikaris, in terms of, you know, the beginner devotees. Of course, we cannot say the same, we cannot say that demigods necessarily, some of them are kanishtas, because some of them are highly elevated, but they still have some mixed desires. But in general, one of the symptoms of having this mixed desires for fruitive enjoyment is that one's develop a sense of pride and a sense of enjoying the opulence that devotional service gives. One starts to feel better. That's what pride is. One feels, oh, I'm better than someone else. Or I'm in this position that is respectable by all others. Say, in the temple we have a whole community that comes and worship, and they see devotees who are in a responsible position representing the Lord, say the pujaris. As a pujari, we stand elevated over all others. You know, just like that. We're in the altar by the Lord. So you can see that the altar is on a raised platform. So we are above. and people are, you know, we are sort of the in-between or the connection between the deities in the altar and the worshiper here in the temple room. And we can bestow upon them, we can give them mercy, we can give them prasadam. And then they look upon us and they extend their arms like this. And we place the flower, or place the lotus feet of the Lord. So, it's possible at times we see that we may become proud of that. We feel I'm superior, or I'm bestowing the mercy. I start to flavor the respect that is given to someone who is in that position, close to the Lord. Sometimes, by the grace of the Lord and the opportunity that we have taken, we have chosen, the Lord give us the capacity, because we're hearing constantly and we're in association with the Lord and we're in association with Prabhupada and the devotees. We start to learn, we progress in Krishna consciousness, and we learn, we study the philosophy, and we speak, preach, and by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, we're able to communicate, and Krishna may give us the ability or enhance our ability to communicate. And people may become grateful to receive this communication, this knowledge, these teachings from you, and they start to give you the respect as a teacher. A teacher of transcendental knowledge is guru. So I may start to think, you know, I can be a guru. Because a guru receive the surrender and they receive the honor and the worship of those who look for that shelter. So I may become proud of the opulences that I'm receiving by performing responsible devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And in that pride, I can become intoxicated. When you become intoxicated, then you lose all sense, all common sense, all capacity to actually understand that you may be doing something very wrong and you can actually commit an offense. It's very bad when we offend people in general. It's a great disturbance for society and for just people in general. But if you, in your blindness, cause by pride, offend or disregard a devotee of the Lord, then that's a worst thing that we can do. Especially when we actually go as far as to offend the spiritual master. And we see it over and over and over. And here is a perfect example of that. Manigriva and Nalakuvara are the sons of a one of the demigods, a responsible demigod that administrate the wealth, the finances of the universe. It's the treasurer. So like Radharaman Prabhu was for some time, in you know, the person in the temple, the devotee who was looking after the finances of the temple, now is Prabhala Madhuri Mataji. It's a very responsible, tremendously responsible position. So Nalakubara and Manigriva were the sons of Kubera. And as the son of Kubera, in general, the demigods, they assist that whole department. So inhabitants of the plan of the demigods. Now, because of wealth, opulence, beauty, position, they became intoxicated. And in intoxication, they lost all sense of common sense. And when Devarshi Narada, Deva Rishi, Devarshi is a combination of Deva and Rishi, is the Rishi or the Guru or the saintly person amongst the demigods. Deva means demigods. So Narada Muni is the highest or the topmost saintly person among the demigods. So it's like a great saintly person, representative of Srila Prabhupada, arrived into the temple. You can picture that. And suppose, you know, two of us are so intoxicated by the opulence that we're receiving for our devotional service that we insult by our behavior this saintly visitor personality, representative of Srila Prabhupada. Now, what will be the result of that? Well, Lord Chaitanya says that this insult is compared to the mad elephant who enters into a garden. Matahati, right? Matahati. Is that Matahata? Yes. The mad elephant offense, meaning that bhakti, the cultivation of bhakti in one's life is compared to the cultivation of a garden. So once, even if you taking so much great care of this garden and making sure that all the plants that are growing are flowering plants or fruit plants, and they're growing healthy and beautiful. But if you make the mistake of bringing a mad elephant into that garden, you can rest assured that the whole thing will be completely destroyed. So that's what the offense of that's what the action of offending a great devotee of the Lord does to your devotional service. It destroys it. However, although from the Lord's perspective, that is something that he just doesn't tolerate, He doesn't tolerate that you offend his devotee. Why? Well, the Lord says this himself during the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. The Lord says that that the devotee is always within my heart. Devotee is always within my heart. So, because the devotee is always within the heart, anything that you do to the devotee is directly taken by the Lord. So the Lord doesn't tolerate that. But the devotee is more merciful than the Lord in terms of tolerating the misbehavior and the offense of a devotee. And even if there is not a devotee, the devotee is still the compassion. It goes so deep that actually anyone who have acted offensively towards the devotee compassion overrides everything. We see it in the pastime of Jagai and Madai. They were not devotees. They were the most hideous criminals that one can ever. I mean, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they were just devotees who were so intoxicated that they lost it. But they were, you know, they were devotees. Jagai and Madai were the most terrible criminals one can, you know, actually ever imagine, come across with. Because you hear of criminals that specialize in different things. You have criminals that are, you know, terrible robbers, or you hear criminals that are terrible murderers, or you hear criminals that are, you know, rapists, and criminals that are this and that, all these different type of criminals. But these guys, apparently, according to the descriptions of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, they were in all those different, in all those categories, they were the topmost. There was no crime that they didn't commit. And they were vicious, vicious, really vicious. And they went as far as to directly attack and harm Lord Nityananda. But although Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill them, Lord Nityananda was ready to give his mercy. So there's a quality of the devotee. So regardless of the offense that is committed towards the devotee, oceanic mercy comes forward. But that means that in whatever form that mercy comes, nevertheless, is mercy. So in this case, Narada Muni punished the two intoxicated sons of Kuvera by a curse. Now, from the eye of someone who is materialistic and doesn't have proper understanding, then one see, oh, yeah, they got punished, this guy got angry, you know, and he punished him very hardly. I mean, say you condemn someone, it's like, you know, you're intoxicated and you come naked in front of some police, and then they throw you in jail, and they condemn you to a lifetime in jail for life for that offense. The common people may think that's very harsh. That's a harsh punishment. It's not fair for that offense. I mean, they didn't kill anyone. They just were naked, drinking and enjoying with some girls. Yeah, it was, you know, you don't do that publicly in front of, you know, a great person. That's very bad. They should be punished. But that type of punishment? A lifetime incarcerated? Harsh punishment. So that, what to speak of 1,000 years with no human body but in a tree body. And not just 1,000 years of, you know, here in this world. 1,000 celestial years. That 1,000 celestial years from the perspective of human life, or the perspective of this earth when they have to take birth as tree, is an awful amount of time. That was a very harsh punishment from the naked eye, from the uneducated eye. But that means that we don't understand that actually the devotee is very expert in delivering his mercy. The devotee understand what's the right amount that is required for the devotee to become fully purified. So regardless of the methodology, regardless of the severity, regardless of anything, whatever the great devotee of the Lord give you, it is meant for one's purification. And that's when we see that the result of this course was the greatest, most brilliant gift that one can ever imagine. One have to have faith and transcendental knowledge to understand that. And we see it in the case of Mukunda, I think, when he was punished by Sri Chaitanya, that I don't want to see Mukunda anymore, so he cannot enter my association. Was Mukunda, no? Yeah. When the devotees of Lord Chaitanya hear that, because everybody loved Mukunda, when they heard that Sri Chaitanya, the Lord of their hearts, said that I don't want to see him anymore. He cannot come here to, you know, I don't want to see it in my lifetime anymore. When they hear that, the devotees placed themselves in that position and thought, if this happened to me, there's no cause for my existence. Might as well just disappear. They couldn't bear the pain of even thinking of being in that position, and they felt that towards Mukunda, and they begged the Lord, please, this is so harsh. But Lord Sri Chaitanya, he didn't budge. He won't come here. He won't come to see me in thousands of life, not just this life, in thousands of life. I won't see him. 1,000 life. of so many thousand lives. So the devotees were in tears just thinking like that. But when they asked Mukunda, they communicated, you know, with a broken heart, the words of the Lord, they were surprised at Mukunda's reaction. Mukunda started to dance in great jubilation and celebrate the news that he was given. Because he was devastated when he heard that he won't be able to see Lord Chaitanya anymore. But when he heard that after a thousand lives, he will see Lord Chaitanya, he went in an explosion of ecstasy and happiness. And the devotees were surprised. And they asked, "Why are you celebrating? This is terrible." And he says, "Because in a thousand lives I will be able to see my Lord again face to face. So he will patiently wait, but he knows for sure, because the Lord says it, he will see him again face to face." So Mukunda had knowledge and had faith, and because of that he was very, very appreciative of the great mercy of to be able to be in the association of the Lord and serve him face to face. So Manigriva and Nalakuvara received these blessings in the forms of a curse from Narada Muni, that they will see Krishna face to face. And when they, at the end of these pastimes, when they become free, then they will fully appreciate the gift that they were given, and they will become the result of this this interaction with Narada Muni and this corrective measure, this punishment that were given by Srila Narada Muni, they became great devotees. Kuvera majo badha murtiya vajatvad tvaya mochitao bhakti bhajao kritao cha tata prema bhakti insua kamme prajacha namokshe graho mesti damodareha. That my Lord, in the same way that you gave this prema bhakti to Manigriva and Nalakuvara, the sons of Kuvara, I beg you to kindly bestow that same opportunity to me. And, you know, give me the chance to be your devotee. Tata prema bhaktim swakam me prajacha. You aspire to receive the same opportunity. So are we ready to stand as tree for a thousand celestial time to receive the same opportunity? Well, we should. It would be very wonderful to be able to see the Lord face to face. I was just going to finish too with a thought of same thing is in our relationship with our Guru Maharaj, our spiritual master. We have to have faith. We have to have faith. We have to have such a solid faith that we understand that the spiritual master, everything, every interaction, every way that the spiritual master interacts with us is a manifestation of the oceanic mercy that he or she brings. Everything is positive and auspicious, and is meant for our purification. So sometimes the spiritual master interacts with us in a very loving manner. Sometimes the spiritual master may be harsh and punish us, chastise us, ignore us. Any way that you actually, any type of interactions that is there. If we're situated in proper knowledge, we can understand and have faith that this is just the right thing. If we start to think, oh, the spiritual master doesn't like me because he is neglecting me or ignoring me, then maybe I start to entertain, maybe I just need another, maybe I didn't choose the right spiritual master for me. Maybe I can find someone else that is more suitable to my being. My spiritual master doesn't understand me. He doesn't know me. He didn't care to talk to me. We may think like that. You've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen devotees that jump from this one to this one to this one. Because my spiritual master doesn't understand me. So that's a wrong mentality. You're missing the whole thing. And the actual, you actually lose the opportunity of receiving the mercy and the purification. In fact, the whole thing is going to work against you, that whole attitude. The spiritual master, regardless, just like how Narada Muni externally appears to be very harsh in his punishment to Manigriva and Nalakuvara, his purpose was to purify them, to help them, and gave them the greatest of all blessings, which was to see the Lord face to face. So similarly, we have to have that faith. We have to embrace that faith that our Guru Maharaj is delivering me and with that faith we grow. Without that faith, there's no growth in Krishna consciousness. We're depending on that. We're depending on our spiritual master. And we have to embrace that position and become open like a river, regardless of where the river is going through, if it's going through rocks, is it going to a jungle, is it going to a desert, is it whatever the river goes through, you know, like the Nile River is going through a desert, or the Amazon is going through a jungle, or, you know, whatever river is there, it always goes towards the ocean. So similarly, our faith in the spiritual master should be like that. It should be open, and that faith is what takes us, you know, to the ocean of Krishna's mercy. It's an important principle that I think this is a nice illustration of the mercy of the devotee. In despise of, in our neophyte state, we may get into these blind spaces and sometimes commit offenses towards the devotees. If we are sincere and we remain under the shelter of the Lord, our spiritual master and the devotees will pinch us and wake us up for us to take the medicine. Just like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Any comments or questions?
Thank you very much, Class Prabhu. You mentioned a lot of nice points, and I have a few comments and questions on them. First of all, you mentioned a pastime, one of my favorite pastimes, Mukunda Datta Prabhu. That pastime is, if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure I am, it's in a Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khand or Madhya Leela, sometimes it's Leela or Khand, Madhya, the second part, chapter 10. So if people want to read that pastime, it's in that part. And one quote that reminds me of that pastime is, it says, life is like a poker game. You can't change the cards you're dealt, just how you play the hand. And we see that, we say no gambling, but we could learn from actually poker players. Because if you're handed a good hand in poker, you can still lose the game. But if you're handed a bad hand, you can still win the game. How? By maintaining your equanimity, by acting like you have a good card, some good cards, you can still win the game. And this is precisely what Mukunda Datta did. He was handed the worst possible hand ever. Lord Chaitanya, like you said, says, I don't want to see Mukunda because he associates with Mayavadis and says their philosophy is not. Whoever he associates with, he thought it meant to be humble to say, to agree with every philosophy he associated with. So Lord Chaitanya says, like you said, I don't want to see him in a million births. Actually, Mukunda Datta asked the devotees, when will the next time Lord Chaitanya see me? And then Lord Chaitanya says, he won't see me in a million births. And like, if we heard that we wouldn't see Lord Chaitanya in a million births, we would have said, I'm converting to Christianity, definitely. And so we see Mukunda Datta was handed the worst possible hand, but he acted like it was the best hand. Because of his gratitude, the Lord wanted to see him immediately. And that's why I really appreciate that pastime. And one last quote that reminds me of the pastime, it says, start bringing gratitude to all your experiences instead of waiting for a positive experience in order to feel gratitude. Some of the points you were making also that I appreciated. Like you were making this point that it was actually a blessing. Sometimes when our spiritual master ignores us, we think it's like a curse or he doesn't care about me. And in this pastime, Nardamuni appears to curse Nalakuvara Manigriva, but it was actually a blessing because it was able to see Lord Krishna. Now, there's one quote I mentioned to Bhakti Kevin Prabhu, and he made it much more funnier. Because a lot of times we say, oh, okay, if I receive constructive criticism like Nardamuni gave Nalakuvara Manigriva, that's a blessing. But if I receive constructive criticism, that's not a blessing. They're egotistical. But whether we receive constructive criticism or destructive criticism, it's actually all a blessing because there's one quote I appreciate. It says, when life treats you like crap, think of it as fertilizer meant to help you grow. And so I told this to Bhakti Kevin. He was like, that's a good point. Sometimes when we're in an argument with devotees, we should tell them. I wouldn't recommend telling them, but it was funny. He was like, Prabhu, you know, you're a piece of fertilizer. I mean, you're help fertilizing my bhakti. So, and I really appreciate that. Obviously, we don't say the first part of the devotees, but they're definitely fertilizing our bhakti and other people in the material world because we see that these qualities like humility, tolerance, forgiveness, appreciation, they're actually only qualities meant to be used when people treat us like crap. Because a rich teenager never tells his rich father, my dear father, I forgive you for giving me a Mercedes Benz for my birthday. I'll tolerate my $50 million inheritance once I graduate from high school. So actually, our enemies, whether constructive, destructive, or doesn't matter, our so-called enemies, the spiritual master, or our enemies, it doesn't matter. It's, they actually give us the greatest opportunity to actually practice these qualities, because we like people to kiss our muta, you know what that means, but we're actually not developing good qualities when people always treat us with respect. So that's one point I appreciated about this pastime. And on one of my last points, and maybe you could expand on some of these, is you was mentioning that the Kuvera and Mani Griva were the treasures of the demigods. Lord Chaitanya gave Haridasa Kaur title, Namacharya, the treasurer of spiritual wealth. Now, if Lord Chaitanya gave us that title, we'll be very depressed. If he gave us the title Kamacharya, the treasurer of material wealth, we'll be very happy. But we see the problem with not being devoted to spiritual wealth. Like, for example, one way to manage spiritual wealth, like you were mentioning, some of the devotees who manage the spiritual, one way we manage the spiritual wealth is keep our lots on the doors, keep the lots on the money in the temple. That's one way to manage it so nobody could steal it. And there's a quote that I really appreciate in that regard. It says, you would never invite a thief into your house, so why would you allow thoughts that steal your joy to make themselves a home in your mind? In order to keep envy out of from stealing our spiritual wealth, we put a lock on it. Our consciousness, humility, appreciation, forgiveness, patience. And we see that people who aren't patient, who are proud, envious, they let thieves steal their peace of mind, you know, which are these bad qualities. And so we don't take these, being a treasure of spiritual wealth, very seriously. But you were mentioning that one of the most grave mistakes we can make, which is the result of not being devoted to spiritual wealth, is Vaishnava Apara. Bhakti Swabhava Gya Dosha Shamakari. Krishna Swabhava Bhakti Ninda Sahite Napari. Devotees are very merciful who are sincere. They don't consider themselves Vaishnavas, but the Lord very much takes it seriously. So there's one pastime, maybe you could expand on it. Even a lot of times when we say somebody commits Vaishnava Apara, they'll leave Krishna consciousness. But there's one pastime where Ramachandra Puri, he criticized his spiritual master, his guru. His spiritual master was crying for a spiritual reason and love of God or something. And he was like, Guru Maharaj, I thought we're not the body. Why are you crying? You must think you're the body. And because of this aparad, he, even though he stayed in Krishna consciousness, he found no happiness because fault finding stole his spiritual wealth. He would just find fault with everyone. And sometimes when we see that, you know, that's the tendency. You know, we could be in Krishna consciousness, but, you know, no happiness whatsoever, always finding fault. And we see throughout the history of mankind, I've never seen somebody who find fault with others look blissful. And so what are some steps we can move forward to be less concerned about managing our material finances and more concerned about managing our spiritual finances? Because without it, we may leave Krishna consciousness, or we may stay in Krishna consciousness but no bliss. The bliss only becomes when people honor us, when people respect us. But when people just disagree with us, we'll file complaints, we'll write our Guru Maharaj this, you know, no bliss. So what are some steps we could do more to be more concerned about spiritual finances?
Well, it's in build on your comment, what the answer to that. You know, you preface the question with the explanation of how we spend time, we waste our time criticizing and looking about faults and outside ourselves. So bring it inside. That's it. And you explain also to put in the locks of humility, respect, tolerance, service. All these things are there. So, is the answer is within your comment. So, I think it was well explained. Anything else?
How? I'll ask in another way, how do we know that we're committing aparas? Because sometimes we feel like I'm experiencing some bliss fault finding, but actually you're not. There's a quote that says, the wicked man cannot be in a position of a friend even toward himself, because he has nothing in himself which can excite the sentiment of friendship. It is man's duty to flee from wickedness with all his might, and strive to be good. And thus may he come to be a friend to himself, and may come to be a friend to another. So we see that if we fought fine, we're not a friend to ourselves, even though we think we are, we're wasting our time. So how do we know whether we're committing aparas? How do we become aware of it? And what are the criterions of becoming aware of it? So we could...
In many cases, when you commit an offense, means that you're blind. That one's blind. One is in blind spot. In the blind spot, you don't see. We just don't see. So we need the devotees to come and do what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, pinch us. And then when we pinch, when we're pinched, and then sort of like they we're able to be able to see something have to be done, like that, we react to that, or we wake up from that position. So being in an association of devotees and come back to the process of taking the medicine, that's the solution. Then we can actually see, okay, so I made a mistake. And usually Krishna is very expert. How we can see, how we can understand that? Well, when you're in the middle of your fault-finding space, you don't see fault in yourself, you see fault in others. You're fine, everybody else is wrong. Then it comes the association with devotees, and then we find ourselves that there's conflict. And in the conflict, I also become conflicted. And then when my bliss becomes now anger or distress or frustration or whatever that, then, oh, so I can see that there is something wrong. And then if I'm introspective, I start to see, okay, what's my part? You know, my mind goes their part. What's my part? And if I start to see my part, oh, actually, I'm being quite offensive here. Then I'm able to see. When there's conflict, when there's smoke, fire is there. One just have to find where is that fire hiding. Because that fire is going to grow and become a devastating, thing. It's going to burn us. So, smoke means if you are, if there's something negative going within yourself. You know, I'm conflicted. Something like that. I'm going to stop here. It's a little past. But thank you so much. Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.